For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. But the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. Let's pray. Lord, I want to thank you this morning for your goodness, mercy, and love. I thank you for loving us in Christ Jesus. Setting your love and affection upon us. Hell-deserving sinners. How thankful I am, Lord, for your love and mercy. I'm thankful for these truths that we've been taught by the Holy Spirit. I'm so concerned about those that are so blind. The devil hath blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in their hearts. But I know, Lord, you're the one that can set the captive free. I realize that you're the one that can open the heart of lost sinners. You can cause them this morning, Lord, to put self aside. And everything they might be claiming or trying to hold on to. And to see their awful, wretched, undone condition. And also to see you as their Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, help us in these last days to be zealous for you and to be good witnesses, Lord, with our lips, but also with our lives. Pray especially for these this morning, Lord, that need you in a special way. We have some that involves our church, the families of our church, and the lives of people in our church. They have great physical needs, Lord. Some of these do. Lord, we're always concerned about these physical needs because they're very important. But Lord, we're so concerned about their spiritual needs. I'm thankful that your grace is sufficient. I'm thankful, Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us. I'm thankful, Lord, you're always there with us, watching over and caring for us. And that you're working according to your plan and your purpose. Help us, Lord, to acknowledge you in all of our ways. Help us to get some glimpse of the truth of your love and of your purpose, Lord, and your plan for our lives and the lives of those that we love. Help us, Lord, to cry out to you for the help that only comes from you. And help us, Lord, to tell you how much we depend upon you and, Lord, how much we need you and how that we cannot do anything without you. Oh Lord, cause us to recognize your greatness. Cause us to be awestruck, Lord, concerning your tremendous and great sovereignty. But yet, Lord, help us to praise you with the way we live and the way that we trust you, Lord. We pray especially for Nikki's dad. You're the only one, Lord, can work there both ways, physically and spiritually. So, Father, we pray that you'd be pleased to work. I'm thankful for these last few months, how that you've had him in the house of the Lord. And he sat under the preaching of the gospel, sat under the truth, and how thankful we are for this. pray for Claire, you bless her. Pray especially for Brenda's mother. You know what our needs are, Lord. You know our condition physically, and you know our condition spiritually. Pray for Barbara's dad, you'd bless him also. Pray especially for Debbie. We're thankful for her faith that she has in thee. Thankful she's a good example, a good witness. Lord, as we watch her, help us to be strong. Pray that you'd bless her in a special way. Now, Lord, enable me this morning that I might be able to preach exactly what you would have and what you need to be brought here that you'd use for your honor and glory. Turn our minds and our thoughts away from things of this world and help us, Lord, to set our affections on things above and on things on the earth. Pray now that you'd forgive me of my sin. In Jesus' name, I ask it all. Amen. This is a wonderful verse. He's talking about how that God does not forsake his saints. And then when he talks about these saints, he uses the word they. And here's what he says about them. They are preserved forever. Now that means a lot to me. There's so many today that are so deceived. I run into people all the time. They're trying to tell me what the Bible says. And the sad problem is they don't know themselves. They would say, well, I'm trying to be saved, or I almost was once saved one time. There ain't no such thing. And I believe this is one of the great things right here. This is one of the great blessings. They are preserved forever. And God saves his people by his grace. When he saves them, they're saved. They remain saved. They are eternally saved. Now, I don't know many people believe that, preach that. A lot of religious people today say they believe it, but they mix a little bit of works in with it. They have to mix a little bit of stuff in with it to make it, you know, get them involved in it. But totally that it's of the Lord and dependent upon him, I'm thankful, and we ought to be thankful that the Lord has brought us this truth. There's two contrasting or contradicting thoughts today. One is the doctrine of apostasy, and the other is the doctrine of security. The doctrine of apostasy that many would say and that many believe, most of your religionists believe today, they'd say it like this. They'd say, well, you get saved, and then you lose it. And then the doctrine of security is just the opposite of that. In other words, they say that you get saved, you lose it, and you can forfeit your saintship. Brother, I tell you, this verse says, for the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints. You know what that means? He forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever. Now what that is the salvation that God brings of the people that he saves, which is eternal, and makes them secure. There is, in a sense of this, the preservation of the saints. It really boils down to this. It's when one has been born of God, been born again. They've been justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They even may do that which is wrong,
They may grieve the Holy Spirit. They may lose the joy of salvation. They may bring upon themselves the corrective chastisement of their Lord. Nevertheless, they're going to be preserved and in faith and shall not be unsaved in the end. People just, apart from the Holy Spirit, the Word of God, and the Holy Spirit, people can't grasp that. They can't understand that. Too many people believe you're saved by what you do before you're saved, and you stay saved by what you do after you're supposedly saved. And both those are wrong. You're not saved by what you do beforehand, and you don't stay saved because of what you do after you are saved. Because if it was, it wouldn't be salvation of the Lord, it'd be salvation of you. And I want to declare to you that salvation is not of you. And it is not of what you do, or that you will do, or you shall do, but it is because of what God did. Because of what God has done, and because of what He is doing, and because of what He shall do. There never was a person that was saved and no longer saved. There never was. Never will be. Never shall be. Apostasy, what they call by apostatizing, or that is losing something they call salvation. Apostasy is based upon salvation by works. And it makes salvation a human project. And failure is certain. It ain't possible, it's certain. Anything that is built upon a human project will fail. But that which is based upon God, the plan of God, the purpose of God, and the Word of God shall not fail. This verse carries with it such a wonderful truth and such a wonderful thought. And it all comes down to this, that the security that we have in salvation is by the grace of God. Because our salvation is not a human undertaking, it is a divine undertaking. And it is not a human understanding, it is a divine understanding, and it will be a success. A lot of religions today, they're driven by a spirit that is causing them to do what they do because they believe that is what's going to save them. But I'm thankful, and I thought of this, and I'm thankful for God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, the doctrine of security is not the doctrine that just being a church member, you're secure. A lot of people think that too. A lot of people believe if they can just become a church member, that they'll be all right. Don't have nothing to do with your salvation, church membership, don't have a thing to do with it. You can be a member of a church all your life and die and go to hell. But I tell you what, you can be saved by the grace of God and you won't die and go to hell. Because I believe that all church members ought to be saints of God, as he says here. It's sad to say many times they're not. Isn't it not true? I mean, even among us at times there's people that say, well, I made a false profession of faith and I thought I was saved, but I really wasn't saved. And now I know that I am saved by the grace of God. Doesn't that happen frequently or often? So just the hope of church membership don't offer any hope or any rejoicing. Just being a member of the church. I'm glad that I'm a member of this church. I'm thankful that I am. And it fits in the purpose and plan that God has for it. So we see the security that he's talking about here, the security that is predicted of saints, is that which is a security that is preserved by God. You see this? See, a lot of people believe they preserve themselves. How many people you know, I'm not trying to get you to stick a finger or anything like that, but how many people you know, they say, well, yeah, it takes this and it takes that, and if you don't do this and you don't do this and you don't do that, and they completely leave out God. They say, you do this and you do that. It's not that. You look here, he says, for the Lord loveth judgment, forsaketh not his saints. They are preserved forever, and the preserving is they're preserved by God. This perseverance is not in what they do. It's a wonderful thing when people that are saved by the grace of God does many wonderful works. It's a wonderful thing. But we find that this preservation that they have here is not in their works, but it's in their attachment to Christ. That they're in Christ, they're attached to Him. What saved me, what was the basis of my salvation, was not what I did before, since I've been saved, what I've done. But the basis of my salvation is what Christ did for me there at Calvary. In the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ there at Calvary. So we see that the perseverance is in the attachment to Christ. And the preserving faith is in the grand mark, I believe, that which distinguishes people from superficial professors. And there's a lot of people today that profess to know the Lord Jesus Christ. The book of Hebrews, I'm going to notice a couple of verses in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 3. And there in verse 14. For as much then as the children are the partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had power over death, that is the devil. Now go with me to the 10th chapter. Talking about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 38 and verse 39. Now the just shall live by faith, and if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But look what verse 39 says. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That's who we are. Wouldn't you like for everybody to know this and believe it? And you can't convince nobody. That's the truth of the matter. You can't convince anybody of what I'm preaching. You can tell them. But you got to remember it's the Holy Spirit that does the convincing and does the work. And I think we forget this sometimes. But this is part of the work of our salvation, was the working of the Holy Spirit. Now there's a lot of people that have what they call a temporal faith, but they don't have. That's like stony ground hearers. But then when you have a faith that God gives, it is one that is a lasting and one that will endure. So being saved by the grace of God and being preserved forever means more than just being a member of Homestead Baptist Church. It means that you've been born again. It means you've been saved. It means you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. It also, the security is not in church membership. And the security that I'm talking about is not in religious, active religious works. Most of your religious workers today are not saved. The majority of them. The majority of your religious workers are not saved. They don't know anything about salvation. They don't have any idea what salvation means. Because they believe it's in what they do. They believe it's in their works. What they've done, rather than what God does. In other words, what it all boils down to is born again. Now, sometime or other, your path is going to cross with Jehovah Witnesses. Meet them gladly. Don't run from them. Meet them gladly. Because they're going to say to you, do you believe the Word of God? Say, hallelujah. Do you? I mean, don't say it sarcastically. Say it in loving love. And they'll read your scripture and say, that's a good scripture. That's all you got to say about it. Don't try to argue with them about what they believe about it. Say, that's a good scripture, I believe. You believe the Bible, don't you? Every verse say, yeah, I believe that. Then give them a verse. Here's two verses, and just let them give you a verse, and you give them these two verses every time. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:3. They'll give you a verse. No, they'll give you a verse from Ecclesiastes. Say, that's a good verse. Don't get in argument with them. Then say, now here's my verse. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John 3:5. Then they'll give you a verse from Daniel. You say, I believe that. That's a good verse. Then you give them your verse. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You don't have to run. Hide. And you're not going to born them again. But you can tell them. And they need to be told. I'm not talking about letting them in your door. I'll make them stand out in the rain. The thing of it is, give them something. You're not going to make it effectual. Or we know that salvation is not of us, or not of me, it's of the Lord. And you can even give them Romans 10:17. Well, I'm so glad you like the Word of God, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's three verses. That's all you have to give. And I'll guarantee you they're going to knock on your door the next month. If they ain't already, they're going to knock on your door. They will. Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad to have such a religious zeal and not even know how to be saved? Isn't it sad? Why?
It's sad.
I think we ought to manifest an attitude of love for them.
I believe we should.
Because we know, don't we? You're saved here this morning. What I'm preaching on, you know. You know. And it may be in God's purpose and providence that God is. Now just take the Word of God and say it. Here's the problem in Matthew chapter 7. Bless their hearts. I talked to two about 6 months ago at my dad's. I saw them coming. I said, "Dad, let me handle this." And Dad just, I mean, you know, I wasn't mean to them in any way. Not mean to them. I don't believe belligerent. I'll talk to them. And I said, "Dad, just don't say anything. Let me talk to them." Matthew 7, look at this.
21, "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Verse 22, "Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." And they can't tell you what the word "never" means. They say it's kneel. Yeah, it is. But in the context of the whole scripture is, God never knew me, Christ. God never set his love upon him, his affection upon him. And they are religious zealots. And they really are. I want you to pray for a lady named Beverly Black. She's a black lady. Her name's Beverly Black. I want to see the Lord save her. She's a Jehovah's Witness. I'm going to send her some information. I think I'm going to talk to her some more. Sad. It's sad. But what I'm talking about is, the world's full of people like these. And you know what? We're not appreciative of what God's done for us. And we're not appreciative of what we know. And we're not appreciative that we're saved by the grace of God, and that we have a salvation that's secure and a salvation that's eternal. We're not appreciative of that. We just sort of sit around like people that are taking it for granted. And of course, we know we're secure in that. I'm not talking about that, but I mean that we have no responsibility. We certainly do. With the gospel. So we see that this security or preservation he's talking about is not church membership. It's just not by some kind of works. And it does not mean, when we talk about security, that saints can't fall. Because time and time again, saints have fallen. In Psalm 37, let's look at this. Psalm 37, verse 23 and verse 24. Look at this. "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall," you see what it's saying? "Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand." I tell you, to my shame, and the shame of everybody else in the Lord, there's times I've fallen. And you have too. As a born-again believer. But that is not the doctrine of security. It has nothing to do with your security, with your perseverance. I like to think of it this way. Why don't we say we're Jehovah Witnesses? We are. We are. Jehovah just means Jehovah God. We believe in Jehovah God. We believe in Jehovah the Son. And we believe in Jehovah the Holy Spirit.
Now, all the persons of the Godhead, for a person that has been saved by the grace of God, all of the persons of the Godhead are for him. The Father is for us. Look in Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And look with me in verse 33. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? See, can't nobody. Can't nobody condemn you before God. It is God that justifies. So we can say that God is for us in election, but God is also for us in predestination. For look in verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate. Now, what did he predestinate him for? To be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. But he's also for us in the effectual call. For look at verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. But he's also for us in justification. For look in the last part of that 33b. It is God that justifies. He is for us in the gift of his Son. Look at verse 32. He spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He is for us in his purposes. Verse 30 again. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Our glorification. These are positive truths, and they're certain truths. And so we see that we can say God the Father is for us in these things, but God the Son is for us. He's for us in redemption. He became sin for us. He became a curse for us. Galatians tells us that plainly. He became a curse for us, but he's also making intercession for us. You know who's keeping you saved? Your intercessor. See, God saved you by his marvelous grace according to his means and his plan and his purpose. And now, Christ died for you and paid your sin debt, but now he's making intercession for you. And anytime any rascal brings up any charge to God against you, he says, no good. So it's keeping the intercessory work of the Lord Jesus Christ is important. That's your salvation, is the intercessory work of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of verses on this, but I thought about this one, Hebrews chapter 7, and there in verse 25, wherefore he is able to save them to the uttermost. Now look, that come unto God by him. See, you don't get to Jehovah but by him. That come unto God by him, and seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for thee. I'm thankful that Christ died for me, but I'm thankful that he's making intercession for me. But then, the Son is for us in redemption, he's for us in intercession, but he's for us in the second coming. Why did Jesus say this? Let not your heart be troubled. Now I tell you, from what a lot of people believe, they better have troubled hearts. Well, I reckon they're scared to death all the time that they're going to lose what they ain't got. They're scared to death all the time they're going to lose what they ain't got. They're afraid they're going to lose salvation and they ain't got it. But he said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Notice the connection. In my Father's house there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself. And where I am, there you may be also. His saints he preserveth forever. So the Son is for us in redemption. He's for us in intercession. He's for us in second coming. But not only is God the Father for us, and not only is God the Son for us, but God the Holy Spirit's for us. In regeneration. And here's how it is. There's people right now that I don't know how to say this to honor God.
There's people that I would like to see saved.
There's people that I want to see saved. And as far as bloodlines, there are not anything to me. But I know what it means to be saved. And I know what it means to die without a Savior. Not that I've experienced it, but I know what the Bible says about it. In hell he lifted up his eyes being in torments. But I know that the only way they will is if the Holy Spirit quickens them. Because here's what he said. And here's what happened to you. And you hath he quickened. Now look at this. Who were dead in trespasses and sins. And then after that we are saved, after we are quickened and made alive, then the Holy Spirit makes intercession for us. Look in verse Romans chapter 8 again. I'm still there. Look in verse 26 and 27. I can't understand people that don't have Jesus Christ in anything that's salvation or the Holy Spirit in anything that's salvation when the Bible talks so much about it. Look at verse 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. That's the Holy Spirit. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he searcheth the hearts and knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. I know what I want to say, but it don't always come out right. And even though I know what I want to say and I say it, sometimes it's not the way it ought to be toward God. Because sometimes it's selfish. Very few times do we ever deny ourselves. But the Holy Spirit is not only for us in regeneration and intercession, but as a seal. As a seal that God has. And we're talking about this security that we have. Ephesians chapter 4, and there in verse 30 of the fourth chapter, it says this. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. That's the person that's saved. And you can grieve the Holy Spirit of God. The way you grieve the Holy Spirit of God is acting contrary to the Word of God. See, you don't have to talk about Him or say He's terrible or anything like that. The way you grieve the Holy Spirit of God is act contrary to the Word of God. And He says, and then here's the thought, whereby ye are sealed until the day of redemption. And the redemption that He's talking about is the redemption of our bodies. But the Holy Spirit is not only for us in regeneration, intercession, as a seal, but He's for us in our resurrection. I'm so thankful. Paul said this, but if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead also shall quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. That's the Holy Spirit.
and how that he leads us and guides us and directs us and teaches us and brings us into all truth. How thankful I am. And there's many other things to say, but I think basically this is what it is. And I'm really concerned, and I'm really think about the psalmist when he said this. And he said, "For the Lord loveth judgment and forsaketh not his saints." He said, "They are preserved forever." You can't do a better job of preserving than forever. I've seen some preserving jobs that's been good for a long time, but not forever. But this is the kind, and that is the security that we have is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason for it is it begins with Him. It was begun with Him. It's brought about by Him. It's continued by Him. And it's finalized by Him. Anything short of that's not salvation but grace. Anything short of that's a mixture of grace and works, as Paul says, it's no good. It's got to either be one or the other. Either grace or work, it can be both. But I'm thankful for grace. Here's what we got to remember. Now remember this. It ain't up to you to make somebody believe. Just give them the Word of God.